Today on Life Talk.
Real love corrects. Real love calls a spade a spade. Real love is honest. Real love will love the object of the love enough to address what is wrong in the object of the love in hopes that they turn and get right with God and get their lives put in order. In other words, real love will whoop you.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
You know, one thing I love about the Word of God is its refreshing honesty. It calls truth, truth, and it calls lies, lies. It doesn't beat around the bush or worry about offending our fleshly sensibilities. Peter is going to continue his warnings about false teachers without pulling any punches in a time when so much passes for Christian teaching that really isn't. And when cults are popping up around us with regularity, Peter's warnings are very much needed. So grab your Bible and follow along with me as I share part three of the message, Faith's Contentions. We're going to be in 2 Peter tonight. We're going to be in chapter 2. It is good stuff. We're talking about faith's contentions. What faith contends? What faith contends? Now, as we get into this, I got to forewarn you. Simon Peter is not a politically correct guy. I'm just warning you. He's tough. As a matter of fact, as I was reading this tonight, or not just tonight, but getting ready for it the past couple of days, it struck me that he wouldn't be very welcome in very many of our American churches right now. I even wonder how many would welcome Jesus himself. But Simon Peter is going to get down tonight, and he is going to blister false teachers. And I'm just the messenger boy. I didn't write it. I'm going to teach it. But he's very, very strong. He's very strong. And again, I don't know, these days when, people are so afraid of being offended by every little thing, I think Simon Peter would be offensive to some today, maybe to many. So last time we closed out discussing the contempt with which godless people treat authority. Ever notice that? They hate authority. We also saw Peter look back in history to remind us that God judged three different entities. He judged angels, he judged Noah's generation, and he judged Sodom and Gomorrah. And Peter's letting us know if he judged those three, he'll judge you as well. In other words, God's a God who has a line in the sand, and nobody knows what that line is but God himself. But there comes a moment when he says, you know what? He's kind of there with Popeye. I've had all I can stands, and I can't stands no more. And he lets it go, and he judges. And picking up now in 2 Peter in chapter 2, verse 12, we begin with Peter's description of apostates. Now, let me tell you what an apostate is. An apostate refers to those who have masqueraded as Christians, but they never really knew Christ. That's an apostate. They eventually shed their pretense, and they go full bore into false teaching and godless living. It's important to keep in mind the difference between an apostate and a backslider. A backslider is a genuine Christian who gets caught up in some sin and they slide away from God. I like front sliding instead of backsliding. Amen? I like sliding towards God. But they backslide and they get out there and they get caught up in various sins and whatever. And one of two things is going to happen to a backslider who's a genuine child of God. God's going to take him to the woodshed and chasten them severely, depending on how quickly they repent. And I've noticed that if somebody backslides, God will chasten lightly at first, it gets stronger and it gets stronger until finally Some real serious stuff goes down in the life of that person that's backslidden. If they don't repent, they can die early. I know that's heavy, but I can show you the verses. That's a backslider. They never ceased being a child of God. The apostate never was a child of God, but they had a pretense. They masqueraded as Christians. And as I said, they let that pretense go somewhere along the way, and it becomes very clear who they were and who they are. Now, Peter is going to expose, like I said, he's going to blister apostate people. He deals a little bit with backsliders, but he's going to really blister these apostates in order to warn us of their methodology, how they do what they do, and their true character. And he's not going to pull any punches. He begins with a biting description of them. Look at verse 12. But these, that is apostates, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they don't even understand, and they will utterly perish in their own corruption. These are heavy words. Can everybody say with me, heavy? I mean, this is just the first verse. Get ready, buckle your seatbelt. And he's already calling them beasts and brutes and letting us know they're going to perish. Now, the apostates, says Peter, are going to be destroyed. That's the bottom line. They are compared to natural brute beasts. Now, when you're going through books like this, words are very important. And so I'm going to do some word studies here. I'm going to show you what some of these words mean in the original language in which they were written. And when you deal here first with natural brute beasts, it means they're driven by natural instincts like an animal. You know, an animal never thinks something through. An animal is just instinctually driven. And he's comparing these apostates to animals. They're driven by natural instincts, the baser instincts and carnal desires of the fallen nature. Brute suggests they don't have any reason. They're without reason, or we would say common sense. Now, what they've done is they have traded divine revelation for human reasoning, always a bad idea. Never trade divine revelation for human reasoning. Your human reasoning will lead you astray. That's why we need our Bibles so much, because it's 66 books of divine revelation. Now, these apostates end up abandoning common sense and logic for sheer, I gotta say it, stupidity. Their stupidity is shown in how they speak evil of things they don't even understand. You ever been witnessing to somebody and they're taking off and talking about this and that and the other, maybe slamming the Christian faith, and you can tell they don't even know what they're talking about. Now, last time we saw how these apostates speak evil of dignitaries, the very angels of God and even God himself. They are utterly ignorant of the fact that the unseen world exists, and they mock those who believe that it does. I don't know how often you've gotten out there and witnessed and actually been mocked and laughed at and ridiculed. I've even had people sit in church. Now, not for a while, but I've had it happen on and off where they'll sit in the first couple of rows here and laugh at me while I preach. Oh, yeah. Smirk, make faces, cut jokes with whoever they're with. And I always think to myself, oh, they're in trouble. Not with me. But when you're listening to the Word of God preached and taught and you're mocking it and ridiculing it in the house of God, you're in trouble. You just don't know it. They also mock the idea, these apostates, of Satan, demons, the existence of evil, all of which hold our world and even them in bitter bondage, but they don't know it. In the same way, folks, I'm telling you, we increasingly live in a world of foolish mockers. I don't know how much you watch news. I don't watch news. I see YouTube clips. I haven't watched a newscast, I'm telling you, in years. I haven't watched a network newscast, ABC, CBS, NBC, in probably 25 years. Why would I give them my time? They're totally biased and not truthful. And I minored in journalism, and I used to do news. You didn't know that. I used to be on KRLD, 1080 AM, reading news. Right there, your pastor, on the mic, reading news of the state of Texas. And I saw that world. And I saw the way that when a conservative-leaning story came through, they would want you to edit it and not let it be so conservative. I know what happens there. I have been interviewed on local television, and when I saw the newscast, They had changed it where it wasn't at all what I said. Please be smart about this. Now, we live in a world that is increasingly filled with foolish mockers that rail against the authority of God, God's Son, Jesus Christ, and those who love him. And Peter is telling us their day is coming. Peter assures us they will utterly perish in their own corruption. Death, did you know this, is God's ultimate answer to those who abuse him and mock his Son. Death is the great equalizer. Let me give you an example. There's probably no man in all of history that attacked Christianity more bitterly and, I might say, more eloquently than the 19th century Enlightenment atheist Voltaire. Very brilliant man, just an incredible writer, just had a mind. But his mind got him into trouble because he totally reasoned God out of his life. And he became a vociferous critic of Christianity and Christ and Christians and the church and everything. Now, his writings against the church, God and Christians, were voluminous. And if you were to Google his name, I'm not suggesting you do it, but it would kick up thousands of hits because he was well known in 19th century Europe. But as he neared death at 84 years of age, look at this letter that he wrote. Quote, "I, the underwritten, do declare that for the 4 days past, having been afflicted with vomiting of blood and not being able to drag myself to church, having been visited by a representative from the church, I did confess to him that if it pleased God to dispose of me, I would die in the church in which I was born. Hoping that the divine mercy will pardon my faults, I sign myself Voltaire." This written by a man who his whole life wrote that there was no God. But here's the deal. He never repented. He never turned to Christ. Reconciliation with the church is not reconciliation with Christ. The atheist who had so brazenly mocked Christ and Christians his whole life died with such shrieks and blasphemies on his lips as to drive the nurses and doctors from the room. Death is the great equalizer. Voltaire met the Grim Reaper without a savior.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear. And that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now, Peter is telling us, these who mock, you know, we're going to give an answer for every word we say. These mockers, these ridiculers, these critics, these blasphemers, they think they're just spouting off their mouth in the prime of their life, but it's all being recorded. And when death comes, they've got to meet their maker. That's what Peter's wanting us to know. Now, he goes on to describe the lifestyle that often accompanies apostasy. What is it? He says, "And they, apostates, will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you." Boy, he's full of metaphors, isn't he, tonight? He has got all kinds of ways of describing these people. How would you like to be called a spot? How about a blemish? Well, he just called them that. That's not very politically correct, is it? For the apostate, Peter is telling us, life is one big party. They have no concern about the normal constraints of time and duty. They carouse in the daytime. And then there are spots and there are blemishes, but look where he is seeing them. At your feast. He's talking to Christians and he's saying, they're in your feast. They're attending your love feast. And that's what I believe he's referring to here. The love feast of the Christians of the early church. These brazen apostates cared nothing for the Christians in their hearts. They only wanted to eat the food that was being offered. They ate with them, and all the while they're inwardly mocking them, hypocrites of the first order. Now let me ask you a question tonight. If God put this in the Word of God, does he want us to know it? Why do you think he wants us to know this? He wants us to know it because if it happened then, it happens now. He wants us to know it so that we won't be gullible, naive. You know, can I just say something without it being taken wrong? There is such a thing as stupid love. Stupid love is when you think that if you love someone, you believe anything that they say, you go along with anything that they want, you never correct, you never do, because we've got to love them. We've got to love them. So you never call out their sin. You let them get away with all kinds of things because, after all, you are called to love. But Jesus didn't have stupid love. Do you remember how many times he rebuked the Pharisees and called them all kinds of descriptives? He nailed them for who they really were. Now let me ask you, when he called them whited sepulchers, whitewashed walls, hypocrites, and all the different names he called them, was Jesus not speaking in love? Hey, he was perfect, and he was God, and we're told that God is love. So can I tell you, real love is not stupid. Real love corrects. Real love calls a spade a spade. Real love is honest. Real love will love the object of the love enough to address what is wrong in the object of the love in hopes that they turn and get right with God and get their lives put in order. In other words, real love will whoop you. Real love will chasten you. This sloppy agape that we've got, this concept we've got in the church today, can I say something else? God never called Christians to be nice. So we got this picture of Christianity. All Christian men should just be nice guys, really nice guys. Oh, if I'm a Christian, I'm just a nice guy. I don't want to be a nice guy. I want to be a real guy. And I want to walk in love. And real love, hey, Jesus loves me, and he has corrected me a million times. In love. Amen? So here's Peter. He's saying, let me tell you the truth about the church. There you are having a love feast, and you need to know that you've got apostates that are right there with you who know how to talk the talk, and they're right there with you. And he says, he's basically saying, don't be naive. Don't be stupid. Don't be gullible. You'll know them by their fruits. He calls them spots, which is a word meaning a stain. And blemishes points to the shame, the moral disgrace, and the licentiousness of the false teachers. I think the whole idea here is the church is really not in much danger from the outside. The church is in more danger from the inside. Because it's the apostates and the false teachers that weasel their way in, talking all the right talk. And once you believe that they're true believers, they start coming off with false teaching, false doctrine, false concepts about God. And as we're about to see, they lead many astray. Now, he said they carouse in the daytime. The word carousing means to live in luxury. These false teachers were doing very well financially based on their teaching. I'm going to deal with that in a minute, too. Now, finally, Peter says they were carousing in their own deceptions. That means to cheat or to give a wrong impression. They were fakes and they were phonies when in the presence of Christians. They knew how to talk the talk, but they never intended to walk the walk. Amen? And Peter goes on to say, guess what? They're enslaved to sin. He says in verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and they are accursed children. Everybody say, woo. I mean, this is hot, y'all. I mean, think about what we're reading. Think if he was talking to somebody. Your eyes are full of adultery. You can't stop sinning. You're going after unstable souls. You're trained in covetous practices. You're accursed. That's hot. Everybody say, that's hot. Okay? The word entice here has the idea of catching something by means of bait. They use the bait of smooth words and false promises to allure other people into sin. Peter is telling us they can't look on a woman without lust, having eyes full of adultery. They're lust-driven. They live lust-driven. And not only do they abandon themselves to the lust of the flesh, but they entice people who are weak and unstable. They target unstable souls. All the cults do this. All the cults do this. Those not firmly rooted and grounded in the faith are the ones that they target. Perhaps new Christians or those on the periphery of the church. Like wolves, they stalked the weak. That's what these apostates do. That's why when you get a knock on your door and somebody's out there in a white shirt and a black tie, you need to know your Bible. Amen? Because what they're looking for is people who don't know their Bible, who are unstable, who are not fully rooted and grounded in Christ. And it's not just the cults, but it's all the false concepts and false morality and all that has infiltrated our culture that is not biblical, not of God, that is in fact sin. If we don't know the Bible and are stable in Christ, we're targeted by the false teachers. Amen. Now, I want you to notice what they are the most skilled at. Peter says this, not me. He says they have a heart trained in covetous practices. That means they're after your money. They have honed their skills at lining their pockets with the money of gullible people. They're sophisticated in the art of seducing people to empty their wallets. Now, remember, he's telling us they're in the church. They're in your love feasts. They are masquerading as Christians, but they're after your money. Amen? So I don't know how far to go with this. I want to be real careful what I say. But if you're ever listening to somebody who is a Christian preacher or teacher, or that's what they say they are, and they're not a financial teacher per se, but they're supposed to just be Bible teachers, and all you ever hear is money, money this, money that, money the other, send your seed in, and when you sow your seed into this ministry, then you know, you're going to be protected for the rest of the year and God's going to bless you with 100-fold and all these promises that are made. And you've got to be smart here, church. The Word of God is right here warning us that false teachers are skilled at getting your money. I'm just reading the Bible. You didn't know this was in the Bible, did you? Well, here it is. They're trained. They know how to say it. They know how to express it. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't sow into someone's ministry. That's not what I'm saying. But it's this stuff on, you know, let's say today is October 23rd, and one of them's on, let's say, TV, and they say, well, it's October 23rd, and God told me if you send in your $23 based on the fact that it's October 23rd, that you're going to have 23 different blessings for the rest of this year, and on they go. God told them. I'm going to tell you, no, he didn't. God doesn't talk that way. God doesn't do that. He doesn't manipulate. He touches your heart to give, but he doesn't manipulate. He doesn't give false promises. I know people who have left the church because they heard some promise from some teacher or some preacher on television or whatever that if they gave, I had one lady, she heard a guy and he said, he went right up to her and he said, God is showing me that if you do this and that, if you sow this and that, then your husband who has left you is coming home. And she threw that money in there quick, said hallelujah, and she was all up and excited. Well, her husband who had left her divorced her and married someone else, and she never went back to church. They target unstable souls, people who don't know the Bible. That's who they target. People who aren't fully rooted in Christ, that's who they target. And they're skillful at getting your money. They're cursed children, Peter says. You know, Jesus once said that until he returns, the tares, and a tare means false Christian, would grow up right alongside the wheat, real Christians. Only at his second coming will everything be exposed for what it is. These apostates often exist right alongside true believers. But they are cursed children who will be exposed at the Lord's return. This is just reality. I guarantee you, at any given Sunday in this church or any other, there are people who give the impression they're Christians, but they're not. They're not. Now, maybe they're self-deceived. I don't know. But there are people in churches all over America and all over the world. They just go to church. They like to go to church, but they've never had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. There's something about the church they like, the social atmosphere, whatever it might be, the music, whatever it might be. But they've never been born again. They've never been born again. That's why all the time we give the invitation to receive Christ, because there's people all the time who don't know Jesus.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.